Let's face it, people's eyes glaze if you tell them you're in federal procurement. I mean, how winning is that at a cocktail party? It's all a boring mass of rules, regulations, bureaucracy, right? Well, for the upcoming generation of federal procurement people and the companies they deal with, it's pedal to the metal when it comes to acquisition. Case in point, Frank McNally, content developer at ASI Government. He's standing by with Tom at the ACT IACT Acquisition Excellence Conference. Tom?
Thank you, Emily. And Frank, it's good to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
All right, I think it would be instructive to tell us first a little bit about ASI Government, because it's an unusual type of contractor.
Sure.
So tell us what it does, and then tell us what a content developer there does.
Sure. Well, we focus on helping our clients, the federal government, buy things more effectively and figure out how to buy them more effectively. And we do that through consulting and product development. So I'm on the product side. I work at the virtual acquisition office where I develop content. My focus is IT acquisition, things like consumption contracting and agile development. So I do research and analysis and e-learning.
So consumption, the way you mentioned, that's like cloud computing,
right?
Software as a service, that kind of thing.
Things where we want to buy by the drink. Right?
So you see the vendor community from the inside out through the eyes of government, basically.
That's right.
All right. So I guess then you must see, before the vendors come in, you look at things from a requirement standpoint. Mm-hmm. And that's where a lot of things go wrong, kind of at birth, if you will, mm-hmm. or even at conception, which is with the requirements. So how is the thinking changing about how to develop requirements in such a way that the acquisition eventually will come out good?
Right. Well, I think we're starting to look at requirements development as more of a process and less of an outcome or a final state, especially in Agile. And especially in cloud, when you're not exactly sure what you want, you have a general idea of what you want to acquire, but you don't necessarily know every step of the way or every detail. Or with cloud, you don't exactly know how much you're going to consume, but you know you're going to need it. So now with looking at requirements development as more of an iterative process, we focus less on, or we should be focusing less on, on making sure that requirement is 100% right, because really there's no perfection anywhere, and if we put too much effort in that, it's just sort of a waste of time.
Or is it maybe a better way to put it, or a different way to put it, that you start with a very narrow piece of requirement and then build on that bit by bit, because eventually the vendors have to deliver something.
Well, absolutely. I mean, there's got to be an outcome in mind, but right, incremental development, you know, modular contracting, things like that, where we can take one step, develop maybe the first 20% of something, test it, learn from what happens after deployment, and then incorporate that learning into the next release. That's a great way to develop products, especially digital services.
All right. So, So suppose I'm an agency. Suppose I'm a program person. And because of all this, the administration is pushing agencies to go to the next generation of digital services. Used to be called e-government. Mm-hmm. Used to be called service to the citizens before that. But it's the same thing. But as digital technology changes and people's perception of the internet changes, the government has to keep up. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm a program manager, how do I begin to think about that in such a way that I can eventually have a contracting officer do something worthwhile?
That's a good question. I mean, we got to think about, you know, leveraging industry expertise. I know that's a well-beaten drum, but there's a lot of things happening in the market that, as program folks, you want to understand, you want to have access to without necessarily committing yourself to the long term. So we're starting to see more innovative things like reverse industry days and, you know, crowdsourcing kind of make its way into procurement, and it's just baby steps at this point. But
so if you want to crowdsource a requirement, that mm-hmm. seems like a reasonable thing to do.
Sure.
Who is the crowd if you're a program manager?
Well, frankly, the crowd, I mean, is anyone with an interest, anyone with a vested interest in the outcome or an interest in that market. So, the crowd, the great thing about the crowd is it's self-identifying. If you put something out there, you know, people that are interested in this are going to naturally gravitate to that, and people that aren't are going to find the next thing.
So the crowd could even include the eventual users of this, like the people out there, the taxpayers.
Absolutely, and it should.
Have you seen that done?
I haven't seen it done as much at the federal level. We've seen it, you know, the city of Chicago back in 2013 put some of their requirements up on a site called Rap Genius, which is an annotation site. So they actually said, look, we're going to put the solicitation out in this public forum, and anybody can come and annotate and ask questions about it, and sort of in this collaborative way, we're going to hack this thing out and make it better as we go.
And when you're talking about digital services, I guess usability must come into this too at some point, maybe testing different versions of the same thing to see which one people find easier to use.
Correct. I mean, some would argue that there's no more important factor than usability of a digital service. If it's not usable, there's no point in making it. So you've got to get the users in there.
I mean, the fact is, even in the private sector, there are lots of digital services that are pretty bad.
Right. That's a great point. You know, the chaos report that Standish Group puts out every year, software development is hard. It's not just hard for government. I mean, we do things that make it maybe a little harder for ourselves, but you know, anybody who's sitting there saying IT acquisition's broken, you know, they're right, but it's broken a lot of places.
I mean, there are sites we've all gone to where you just give up right. and go somewhere else to find it. I'll pay more if the thing will work for me. All right, so are you starting to see interest in these kinds of techniques like crowdsourcing at the federal level?
We're definitely starting to hear a lot more talk about it. I mean, you've seen the President's SAVE Awards is an example of a crowdsourcing technique. The U.S. Geospatial System, and did you feel that earthquake early detection? But where it's really taken hold is at the state and local level. There's a company called CClickFix that has a web application or a mobile app, and if you're a citizen walking around your neighborhood and you see a pothole, you can take a picture of it, upload it to your city's CClickFix page, and ostensibly somebody will come and fix the pothole.
Well, I know where there's a great one on the GW Parkway. I think
I wouldn't get anywhere if I took all the pictures of potholes on my street.
Yeah. All right, so we're speaking with Frank McNally. He's a content developer at ASI Government here at the Acquisition Excellence Conference in Washington. Besides crowdsourcing, what are some of the other ways that agencies can get better at this agile and more accurate requirements and systems developing?
Well, you really got to think incrementally. Spend more time learning about the product you're putting out there. So if you've got a large acquisition and you can break it down into smaller chunks, the key is learning. You want to learn about your product environment, your legacy environment. You can't learn by sitting at your desk. Excuse me. You can't learn by sitting at your desk and writing that requirement sort of in a vacuum, because that's going to change as soon as you put it out there. So modular, incremental, step by step.
All right, so that means the task order type of approach. How does that translate down the line to acquisition?
What it does is it gets you out of the lock-in. So if you're in a two-year contract with your fixed price funding all up front, it's hard to get away from anything. It's hard to make changes to that scope. Change control is going to come into play, and that takes time. So with Agile and task orders, you're sort of issuing just enough of the work or just enough of the scope to get it done, where the changes are more minimal and you don't have to spend as much time in the change control process.
And we were talking earlier with a fellow from the Transportation Security Administration, Paul Bean, a young guy in government and trying to change some of the hidebound practices, in a place like Homeland Security. What's the receptivity like to these new techniques for requirements and agile development in the government that you've seen so far?
I think we're highly receptive. I think we recognize that agile development is sort of the way to go, and we can extend that beyond just software development. I think it's we're still working through the issues. It's going to take time, but there's definitely an appetite and a willingness, and whenever you have that, you can make good progress.
Now, we've been talking about digital services as the object of this agile approach. Can it also work for things like logistics systems that are highly technical, internally focused? It seems, or case management systems, these kinds of things where the government has failed time after time to develop, I guess, grand design types of systems.
Sure.
Can you do that bit by bit?
I think you can. I mean, I think you have to approach it differently. I mean, Agile is by no means a panacea. It's not the tonic for whatever ails you. But I think the mentality of breaking down a really large project into small, achievable chunks is going to give you more time to do and less time planning. And I think that's a consumption of resources and that planning side that doesn't always lend itself to outcomes, right? Planning is no guarantee of outcomes. It's important, but it's more important now, especially in a digital environment or anywhere, to put stuff out there and learn from it and incorporate.
So once you plan, you have to read the plan once in a while.
Yeah, you do. You should still visit the plan. I mean, acquisition planning is never going to be not important.
What do they say in the military? Plan the work and then work the plan.
Right, exactly.
All right, Frank McNally is content developer at ASI Government. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
And reporting live from the ACT-IAC Acquisition Excellence Conference, Tom Temin, federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.